You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. On a Tuesday, commentator Gary Joyner says, ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles on History Matters.
History has a funny way of creeping up on us. As we get older, the landmarks by which we record our lives slip into the past, and we remember them for their significance, both good and bad. Historians often use the 50-year mark for recording history. Later than that, and the events are still current events. Popular culture historians disregard this rule, but they sometimes find themselves colliding with their mainstream colleagues. It has been said that the second half of the 20th century began 50 years ago this week. Culturally, that may be correct. On Friday, February 7, 1964, the Beatles landed in New York, met by a massive throng of admirers, mostly teenage girls. 2 days later, they played the Ed Sullivan Show on CBS. It has been estimated that 65% of all Americans saw that show. In that one performance, popular culture changed. The British invasion began, and the mainstream entertainers like Elvis Presley, Bill Haley, and the Comets, and the folk singing acts had to struggle to change or wither on the vine. The sounds of the band singing and playing were countered by the raucous screams of their admirers. Everywhere the Beatles went, they encountered the same phenomenon. Camera shots showed girls crying, wailing, gyrating, and more than a few fainted. Their parents, who had not too long before railed against Elvis Presley's hip gyrations, now had to face a totally new issue. Beatlemania had arrived, and it would not go away. No one could define why the reaction of these teenagers occurred. Part of it was a reaction to national events. The previous 4 months had been hard on America. On November 22, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, and the national drama of his death and burial were carried on national television. The Vietnam War, which Kennedy had tried to avoid, was cranking up, and U.S. troops were on the ground and in helicopters in South Vietnam. President Lyndon Johnson was making the speeches of a war hawk. In the South, Alabama was in the midst of a public civil war. The national news carried the civil rights protest in Birmingham and elsewhere. America seemed to be in the grips of a great mental depression. The Beatles arrived and, if not a remedy for this malaise, shot us into a new cultural direction. Parents did not know what to make of it. They suspected their lyrics to be subversive. They were not. Teenage boys suddenly felt threatened by the Beatles' haircuts and accents. They were thrust into the unenviable position of change or be ignored. The Beatles literally dragged the United States into a cultural revolution. Young rock and folk singers were enlightened and tried to follow the music changes they heard. Among them were David Crosby of the Byrds, Billy Joel, and Bruce Springsteen. In 1964, the Beatles were seen as wickedly funny, charming, very talented, and terrific showmen. The drugs, journeys of self-exploration, and infighting would come. The group would dominate the decade with 20 number one hits on the Billboard charts. They have sold in excess of 177 million records as of 2012. They made Time magazine's list of the 20th century's 100 most influential people, and they were appointed as members of the Order of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth in 1965. Paul McCartney was knighted by the Queen. The Beatles created the soundtrack to our lives. Time and tragedy have taken their toll on the band, with only McCartney and Ringo Starr still alive. But the band has become immortal. They prove that even in pop culture, history matters.